This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees at 7:33. 12 senators are reaching across the aisle on a deal to end the government shutdown and increase the federal debt limit before Thursday, the day the country would likely default on its debts if Congress doesn't act. One of the 12, Senator Joe Manchin, says default is not an option. Ashton Mara reports.
The bipartisan Senate deal is fairly straightforward. Fund the government through the end of the year, raise the country's debt limit to avoid default, and mandate a conference committee meeting on the budget between the two houses. Three things Manchin says are crucial in order to get the nation moving forward.
The most important thing we can do is make sure that we don't default at all. And nor are we going to default.
But Manchin says in the 2 weeks of negotiations between the senators, that third element, a conference between the House and Senate, is what stood out to him as the most important part of the deal.
Our main goal was to get the budget conference in a meeting and look at the differences of the budget and have a full report to Congress. This is a chance for a bigger deal, a longer deal.
Congress hasn't passed a full budget since 2009, and every few months must vote to keep funding the government until a budget deal can be reached. But Manchin says members of both houses haven't even come together to discuss their proposed funding bill, and that's what has to change.
There's a lot of skeptics that that'll never happen. I'm not going to say here and tell you it will or it won't. I'm telling you it's got to happen sooner or later. But this is our best opportunity to get into that. And I'm sick as everyone else out there going through this scenario every 3 to 6 months. It's awful. But this one gives us a chance, at least puts them into conference.
The bipartisan deal mandates a conference committee be formed and the two budgets discussed to come up with a solution.
Will they deal in good faith? I can't guarantee that, but I can guarantee you they'll get in a room.
The Senate deal also includes some concessions on the Democratic side. The medical device tax, which applies to devices like artificial joints and pacemakers, will be delayed for 2 years to allow companies to transition toward the fee under the Affordable Care Act. A second compromise, income verification on the healthcare exchange website to prevent fraud and ensure only eligible individuals receive their subsidies on the exchange.
So people can't come in and fraudulently claim that their income and not have proof of that. That made sense to a lot of us.
Manchin says, however, the specifics of the plan are still up in the air. He wants to see the government funded until the first of the year, the debt ceiling extended a few months beyond that, and a conference committee convened, but says when or for how long those things will happen is up to the president and congressional leaders as they hash out a final deal. Manchin expects that deal and an official vote from Congress to come by Thursday morning, in time to avoid hitting the federal debt ceiling. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:36. Areas of dense fog will be encountered as you head out this morning. When driving in thick fog, do not assume the road ahead is unobstructed. Drive slower, allow greater distances between vehicles. Also give yourself some extra time this morning to reach your destination safely. Once the fog clears, sunny skies and warmer today. Temperatures in the 60s and 70s. Rain moves into our forecast tonight and tomorrow.
Support provided by National Travel. Partnering with American Express Villa Vacations. Details about reserving private villas in Europe, Hawaii, and the Caribbean at nationaltravel.com.
Tattoo artists and ink fanatics alike traveled from all over the country to the first ever West Virginia Tattoo Expo in Morgantown this past weekend. Glennis Board brings us this report.
Tattoo contests, a Miss Tattooed West Virginia competition, and tattooing seminars were among the featured events at the expo. But for the most part...
Right now we are in the main event room of the Morgantown Event Center. We have over 150 tattoo artists doing their thing.
Rocco Cunningham is a tattoo artist from Clarksburg. He organized the weekend event.
Right now there's people everywhere looking at artwork, looking at portfolios, sitting in chairs, getting tattooed, waiting to get their tattoos. Everybody's excited. The atmosphere is outstanding.
Luna Allbutt traveled from Northern Virginia, where she heard about the expo and is getting tattooed for the 10th time.
Honestly, I find it pretty therapeutic after a while because the adrenaline just kind of like goes through your whole body. And it just is after the first maybe like 20 minutes, since it's a longer tattoo, it starts to feel kind of like relaxing.
But we weren't talking 20 minutes into the tattoo. We were talking just as things were getting started.
It's pretty painful. It's on my hip. So, yeah, pretty bad.
Alba's tattoo artist is well-known, Rick Cherry. He's been drawing permanent art on bodies for 43 years.
I got my first professionally done tattoo, Washington, D.C., when I was 14 years old, in a tattoo studio. And I was hooked. That was it. You know, I had to do it.
You had to actually do tattoos yourself?
Yeah, I was convinced, you know, that, you know, it was so neat that I was just going to have to learn how to do it.
Cherry also sells his own handmade tattooing equipment. He says it's a dying art, but he's passionate about machining his own drills.
In my shop at my house, I have milling machines, I have lathes, I have welders.
Wow.
And, you know, so I, you know, have to cut out all the metal, braze it together. The coils that operate the machine, I cut the cores for them, I hand wrap the electrical wire, solder everything together, and, you know, hand cut springs, and the only thing I don't make are the screws and the washers.
Hundreds of people came out to the event in Morgantown, men and women, young and old. The expo's organizer, Rocco Cunningham, says he's been to many tattoo expos, but his is obviously the best.
What we really wanted to do was try to represent the tattoo community the best we could and also represent the state of West Virginia the best that we could. We have the opportunity to meet a lot of great artists and meet a lot of great people and promote our work, promote the art form. Tattooing is the most ancient form of art in the world.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Ford in Morgantown.
And you can see a slideshow of images from the West Virginia Tattoo Expo on our website, wvpublic.org. In October, hawks, falcons, and eagles will continue their migration south, and thousands will pass through the eastern mountains of West Virginia. This year, on Sunday, September 22nd, 1,591 raptors were counted at the Hanging Rock Raptor Observatory in Monroe County. This broke the record for the most raptors logged at Hanging Rock in a single day since 1995. To see the migrating raptors pass just a few feet from view, hundreds of visitors come each fall to the Hanging Rock Lookout Tower, originally a fire tower for the Forest Service, located in the George Washington and Jefferson National Forest in the southeastern corner of the state. In September, Roxy Todd and Dan Schultz caught up with some of the volunteer naturalists who travel daily to help record the migration of raptors up at Hanging Rock.
We're at the crest of Peters Mountain. We're at 3,812 feet, and from this vantage point, you can see probably 60 miles in almost 360-degree circle.
That's Brian Hurt, one of the volunteers at the Hanging Rock Observatory, located in the southeastern corner of West Virginia in Monroe County. Many seasoned naturalists like Brian say the views atop Peters Mountain make Hanging Rock one of the best places in the country to watch eagles, falcons, and hawks.
It's just one of the best places to, personally, I think, to see them on the East Coast. I've traveled to quite a few hawk sites, and the thing about Hanging Rock is they're up close because you're at this altitude, and a lot of times the raptors are actually below you and at eye level a lot of times. Other places you go to, you're looking straight up a lot.
Coming towards us from the north, a hawk seems to be tracing an unseen spiral in the sky. Gliding with outstretched wings, she navigates the columns of warm air which rise from the sloping peaks of Peters Mountain. She gains altitude, gently reaching our eye level. Then above our heads, she begins to soar. The movement, called kettling, will sometimes propel raptors to glide up to 200 miles without flapping their wings even once. For those of us watching from the observatory deck, The steep and slanted ridge below us reveals an incredible view of rolling farmland. We can see as far west as the Winter Place Ski Resort, about 70 miles in Raleigh County, West Virginia. And we can see east as far as the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia. We don't have wings, but every now and then a gust of wind lifts our hair, and it sure feels weightless, just for a brief moment. On Sunday, September 22nd, 1,591 raptors were counted at Hanging Rock. Most of them were broad-winged hawks. This broke the record for the most raptors logged at Hanging Rock on a single day since 1995.
There's a group out there. I counted nine in this a minute ago. There's two more.
Three more.
Yeah. Three, four, five, six, seven. I got seven more coming through.
Jim Phillips is the official counter at Hanging Rock, submitting data every year to the Hawk Migration Association of North America. The records reveal there hasn't been a dramatic increase in hawk sightings in West Virginia, but there have been some huge increases in the number of eagles. Jim also works at Pipestone State Park, and he participates in other eagle surveys throughout southern West Virginia. He says that bald and golden eagles are not only migrating through West Virginia, many more eagles are coming to live in West Virginia year-round in areas near Hanging Rock.
So the numbers are coming up, and we're getting good numbers on the golden eagles. The wildlife biologists have actually been doing studies in the Appalachians here, this part of West Virginia to the north of us, and in what borders in Virginia, and they're finding that the greatest population of golden eagles in the east occur in this area.
But it's a fragile balance that the volunteers at Hanging Rock don't take for granted. Rodney Davis, a retired heavy equipment operator, is one of the most active volunteer counters at Hanging Rock.
We used to never get peregrine falcons, and we'll probably have a dozen migrant peregrines now every year.
Rodney has also volunteered with Ron and Wendy Peroni, who are helping to bring peregrine falcons back into West Virginia, releasing them into the New River Gorge area. There's still a lot of work to be done here, says Rodney, but increases in the number of raptors being recorded throughout southern West Virginia, as well as an increase in visitors to the observatory, is a reassuring sign.
The story was produced by Roxy Todd and Dan Schultz of the Traveling 219 series, a production of Allegheny Mountain Radio with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the West Virginia Humanities Council, and AmeriCorps Vista. For more stories like this, visit traveling219.com. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Find great stories, photos, and videos, and you can subscribe to our West Virginia Morning podcast. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Beneduccio. Our director is Bob Powell. I'm Beth Voorhees.